Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And aren't you thankful we have a God who cares about us, and is interested in us. And that's good. Open your Bible to the book of 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. The pressure's on. There's food waiting, right? And so... Hopefully the smells don't start wafting over here. We'll all be in trouble. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 if we could. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to draw your attention to verse number 13 there in 2 Peter 1, verse number 13. The Apostle Peter is writing to believers. He's not writing to a church. He's not writing to a specific group of churches. 1 Peter, we find, was written to some believers who were in certain cities or in certain churches in those cities. But 2 Peter is written to all believers. And notice what he says in verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet. In other words, it's proper, it's suitable, it's necessary. It's something that we all need to be reminded of, to keep in front of us. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Notice the previous verse, verse number 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Look at verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Go to chapter number 3, 2 Peter chapter number 3, and verse number 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. It's easy to forget, isn't it? And the older we get, the easier it is, right? I'm finding that more and more. But there are some things that we need to be reminded of regularly. As a matter of fact, the Bible, Peter writes here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, that it's meet, it's necessary, it's suitable, it's something that needs to be a part of maybe we could say our everyday life. It's something that we ought to always be stirring up. As a matter of fact, twice he uses those two words together. I'm stirring up your minds, I'm stirring you up in this. So with all of that being said, what is it that Peter is wanting to remind these people of, for these believers to remember? Well, I think we find the answer to that in chapter number 1 here. If you look in verse number 2, we find verse number 2 and really verse number 8, but verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we need to remember? What is it that we need to remember this evening? I believe one of the things we need to remember is who God is. We need to know God. Now, I'm not talking about, and we've touched on this in the past, you've heard others say things and so on, I'm sure, and preaching and teaching different settings and circumstances. I'm talking to myself, because if we're not careful, we will just simply read through the scriptures as if it is something like a rule book for us to keep and to follow, like a procedure manual. Like a list of guidelines that, okay, this is what I have to do, this is what I don't have to do, this is what I can do, this is what I get, these are things that I don't get. And if we're not careful, we'll be like Asaph there was in the book of Psalms, where he said, I looked around and it seemed like everyone else was enjoying it. Oh, you know, woe is me because of all the restrictions I had on me. Christianity is not a ball and chain, and God is not a severe taskmaster who is just out to get us when we step out of line. That's not who God is. God is a God of love and compassion and mercy and grace. Yes, He has holiness, and yes, He is just and righteous and separate from sin. But look, His mercies are new every morning. And as Peter said, for believers in general, may I say also this evening, we need to remember who God is. He said, I want to stir up your remembrance. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, he says there in verses 14 and 15 that he was telling these believers, look, I'm not long for this earth. I'm going to be out of here pretty soon. And after I'm gone, I want you to remember what it is that I said. After my decease, he said, I want you to think about the things that I said and remember. What? Remember who God is. We see in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then in verse number 8, if you have these things, a list of things in verses 5, 6, and 7, not the time to look at it, but a long list of things that were added to our faith. If you have these things, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go again to chapter number 3 and look at verse number 18, the very last verse of this chapter or this book. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in what? The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think Christ's likeness is a noble goal. And we all want to be like, or at least we ought to want to be more Christ-like. But may I say, I believe knowing Christ to a greater degree is more important. Knowing and developing a relationship with Him, knowing and having fellowship and communion with Him on a regular basis, knowing who God is. And if we're not careful, we'll go through our lives and we'll forget how important that is. And Peter said, I want you to remember some things. I want you to remember how important it is to know God. Just know. What did Paul say? He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. You see, knowing God is for a believer, knowing God is the most important thing that there is. Because out of that comes everything else. Look, if I never had fellowship or communion or conversation with anybody throughout my life, it would be a pretty miserable, lonely existence. But may I say, as believers, if we never have regular, consistent communication and fellowship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a pretty miserable, lonely existence in this world. It's a whole lot better to go through life with somebody than without somebody. I think we'd all, two are better than one, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes. And may I say, if you have Christ, that's really all you need, right? But oftentimes we forget how important it is to know, just simply know Christ. I'm not saying it's not important to follow Him, to obey Him, to live for Him, to try to please Him. All those things are necessary and important. But if we miss, if all we're doing is trying to serve, and we miss simply knowing Him, then we've missed it. How well do you know Christ? Not do you know Christ. I would assume if you're here on a Sunday evening in America at church, you probably are a believer. You've probably trusted Christ as your Savior. At least you know Him as your Savior. If you have not, we can talk about that after the service. But how well do you know your Savior? How well do you know your Heavenly Father? How often do you communicate with Him? I'm not just during the times where there's difficulty, not just during the times where, you know, you're at Walmart and the parking, there's no close parking spaces and you pray for a close. I'm not talking about that. Just on a regular, everyday, consistent basis, how well do you know Christ? How well do you know your Heavenly Father? He said it's meet, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up. That literally means to wake you up, to get you out of slumber. Paul said it in Romans, I think it was, it's high time to awake out of sleep, right? Why? Because we need to remember who God is. We need to remember who Christ is. There in verse number 14, of course, he says, verse 13, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So in some way, shape, or form, God told Peter that he didn't have long for this earth when he was writing this. Somehow, some way, he told him, look, it's not going to be long now, and you're going to be with me. And so Peter said, I want you to remember something else. I want you to remember that the end is closer than what you think it is. There's an end coming. You know, we live our lives and if we're not careful, we just won't think about it, you know. We just won't think about what's coming. And it's funny because, you know, I'm not necessarily young anymore, but, you know, I remember back when I was 20 years old and, you know, sometimes I still think I'm 20 years old and do some pretty stupid stuff, right, you know, and physically just can't quite accomplish what I used to be able to. But understand something, and look, old age doesn't mean the end, because the end of life can come at any time. And what should that do? Well, it should give us great clarity about what's important. And it should be able to help us to prioritize those things in an order that helps us please the Lord, to honor Him, of course, and all those things, but to know that, hey, I'm doing what I can to get done what I need to get done before my final breath, whatever that is, whenever that is. You know, young people pass on, young people die just as easily as older folks. Death knows no bounds when it comes to age. And understanding that and remembering that helps us also to give us an urgency. But you know what? This might be my last day on earth. Now, let's just be honest. We don't really think like that very, very often. Every once in a while, you know, God will get a hold of us, or, you know, a thought will cross our minds, or we'll, you know, hear of somebody that we know that's passed away, or we go to a funeral, or, you know, every once in a while we'll be faced with death and we'll be faced with the end. But let's just be honest, most of the time we don't remember the fact that the end could be tomorrow. But it could. I'm not trying to be morbid about it, but understand this. Paul said, you need to remember some things. I want to stir up your remembrance. He said, knowing this, shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle. He didn't really say when it was going to be, but it was going to be shortly. And we don't know when the end is going to be. But in that, we know and understand, it gives us clarity about our lives and what we're trying to do. It helps us set priorities about things. And it gives us a sense of urgency in what God has given all of us to do. Let me ask you a question. If this was the last week that you would live on earth, what would you do differently? I'd max out my credit card. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. What would you do differently? Who would you tell about Christ? Who would you try to encourage? What would you try to do with if you knew? Now, I'm thankful we don't know. I really am. I'm thankful we don't know. But if we did know, how would you live differently? I remember, of course, I enjoyed playing sports, played basketball growing up, and I remember getting to a point in my very, very short-lived basketball career, thinking to myself, you know, this could be the last game I ever play. I had some injuries early on. I'd, had a knee injury early in high school, and then an ankle injury and another knee injury and some other things. And one day, that last game came. It was it. It was done. And then maturity took, I understood. I don't know if I was actually maturing, but I understood that there are more important things in life than shooting a rubber ball through an iron rim. Well, I loved it, and I still enjoy it, and I'm watching basketball tournaments right now as they're on. I mean, not right now, but, you know, tournaments are on, March Madness is about to start, all those things. I love it. I enjoy it. But if that's all life is about, then I've missed it. You see, it gives us clarity, it gives us priority, it gives us urgency to remember these things. Go down to verse number 20. We find something else we're supposed to remember that we're supposed to know. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Bible. How well do you know your Bible? And I'm not saying you know exactly, you know, well, I can say, you know, 1 Kings 7:12, and quote the verse. Although that's good. We ought to memorize the Scripture. It's necessary. My word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. But how well do you know the principles and the doctrines and the teachings of the Bible? It's so very important to know the Bible. And Peter said, look, I want to put you in remembrance of something. And he actually started there in verse number 16. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, look, we didn't make this stuff up. We didn't make up the things that we told you about what God told us. Remember, Peter was with Christ from the very beginning of his ministry. From the very time that Christ came out of the wilderness and began his ministry, Peter was right there, step in step with him the whole way, all the way along until he ascended back to heaven. And he saw some pretty amazing things. He saw God work in a great way. He said, look, I want you to understand, these aren't just fanciful stories that we made up. They're actual true accounts that I was telling you about. These aren't cunningly devised fables. These aren't neat stories with some sort of a moral ending that you can apply to your life and hopefully make a change and be better for it. He said, this was what God had told us. He goes on to say there in verse number 17, he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter, James, and John went with Christ up into the mountain and Moses and Elijah appeared there. And Peter said, well, let's make some altars here. And the voice from heaven said, he heard the voice, he saw Christ transfigured before them. He was there. But then notice what he says in verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Just in case, maybe, I don't know. Just in case I dreamed all that up. Just in case that none of that actually happened. It did, but just in case. There's something more sure than actually hearing God's voice from heaven. And then he goes on to talk about the written word of God, what we call the Bible today. Look, remember, know the Bible. Acts, that group of people there, I think it was the church at Berea, the Bible says they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. They wanted to find out whether or not the apostles, those that were preaching the gospel there, Paul and others, what they actually said, if it was true. So what did they do? They went to the only true source of information. They went to the only source that is infallible without error. They went to the only place that could be trusted. And they searched that scripture daily. Look, there's nothing in the Bible, there's no direct command in the Bible that says you have to read your Bible every single day. But may I say this? I've never found that to be to a detriment. It's always been helpful to do that. Now, I'm not as successful. We're not as successful as we'd like to be. Maybe we breeze through it on a day, or we miss a day, things get in the way, distractions come along, whatever it may be. But understand this. We've got to remember to know the Bible. And it's not the Sunday school teachers or the pastors or the missionaries or the evangelists' responsibility to do all of your Bible study for you. Get in your own Bible. Study the Bible as God leads and guides you. You see, God works in your life individually. God leads you and guides you individually to get into the scriptures, to find out who He is and what He desires for you and how He wants to lead you and guide you through your life. But if you never get into it for yourself, you'll miss a lot. You'll miss a lot. Remember, I want to put you in remembrance. Verse number 12, put you always in remembrance. Verse number 13, to stir you up by putting in remembrance. Verse 15, always in remembrance. In other words, don't forget. I don't want you to forget. And it's so easy to do. Moses said some of the same familiar things there in the book of Deuteronomy. As you go through, particularly toward the end of the book of Deuteronomy, we find him, of course, to some degree, Deuteronomy is kind of like the farewell speech of Moses, what he gave to the nation of Israel before God took him. And over again, he said, look, I want you to remember. Don't forget. I want you to remember. Remember what God did. Remember how God led. Remember the things that God said. Remember His commands. And don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. And they got into the land and they forgot. And they forgot. Have you, maybe I'm the only one, I don't know, I don't think I am, but have you ever noticed that you can read the Bible, you read a chapter in the Bible every day for 2 weeks, but then read something in the news and remember that better? Or hear a song and remember that more easily? I don't know why that is. Maybe part of that is the idea that there, the parable of the sower and the seed, and how the seed gets planted, and the birds of the air come and pluck up the seed. Perhaps, I don't know. A lot of different ideas about that kind of thing. But understand something. Peter said here, I want you to remember. I want you to always be in remembrance. Be stirred up. I'm stirring you up. I'm trying to awaken you to understanding and awaken you to remembrance, to know God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that the end is coming, and it ought to challenge us and stir us to a greater faithfulness to the Lord, to know the Scriptures to a greater degree. And then, of course, we read it already, but that last verse of 2 Peter chapter number 3, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing in grace. You see, that's what the result is. Look, don't try to grow in grace. Just remember. The problem is we try to take the result and achieve the result without the effort that it takes to get the result. Look, I'd love to win an Olympic gold medal, but can I be the first to say I'm never going to? I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to, you know, run. I'm not getting up at 4 in the morning to drive, you know, 100 miles to go to some gym somewhere to, you know, practice and work out. That's never going to happen, all right? That's just not going to happen. And it's great to want the result. It's great to want the, you know, the final thing there. But if the process is never there, the result will never be there either. For what it takes in order to get what God has for us. Remember, remember, remember. Father, help us with this truth. I thank You for Your word and how it reminds us again of what You desire us to know. And what You desire to do, not just in our lives, but through our lives. And Father, help us to take the necessary steps in order for Your will to be accomplished in and through us. Father, forgive us for the times we do forget and we fail. Help us to keep short accounts with You. And remind us, Holy Spirit, remind us of what You have for us. Help us to know God. Help us to know Christ. Help us to know that the end is coming and to challenge us to a greater fervency of service and faithfulness. Help us to know what the Bible says. Help us, Lord, in Christ's name. Take your songbook. You got a number? Just as I am. Just as I am. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart. The altar's open. Talk to the Lord about it as they play. Got some snacks waiting for us, so I'm excited about that. Let's pray. Any announcements need to be made before we go? Anybody? Yeah. All right. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed to the fellowship hall next door. Father, we love you. We thank you again for your goodness and your love for us.